Brilliance Audio presents The Servants of Twilight by Dean Koontz, performed by Angela Daw. She went to the kitchen to make coffee and toast and found Joey already at the breakfast table. He wasn't eating, just sitting there, face turned away from her, staring out the window at the sun-splashed rear lawn. Taking a paper filter from a box and fitting it into the basket of the dripolator, Christine said, "What can I get you for breakfast, Skipper?" He didn't answer. Spooning coffee into the filter, she said, "How about cereal and peanut butter toast? English muffins? Maybe you even feel like an egg." He still didn't answer. Sometimes, not often, he could be cranky in the morning, but he always could be teased into a better mood. By nature, he was too mild-mannered to remain sullen for long. Switching on the dripolator and pouring water into the top of it, she said, "Okay, so if you don't want cereal or toast or an egg, maybe I could fix some spinach, Brussels sprouts, and broccoli. They're all your favorites, aren't they?" He didn't rise to the bait, just stared out the window, unmoving, silent. "Or I could put one of your old shoes in the microwave and cook it up nice and tender for you. How about that? Nothing's quite as tasty as an old shoe for breakfast. Mmm, really sticks to your ribs." He said nothing. She got the toaster out of the cupboard, put it on the counter, plugged it in, then suddenly realized that the boy wasn't merely being cranky. Something was wrong. Staring at the back of his head, she said, "Honey?" He made a wretched, stifled little sound. "Honey, what's wrong?" At last he turned away from the window and looked at her. His tousled hair hung down in his eyes, which were possessed by a haunted look, a bleak expression so stark for a 6-year-old that it made Christine's heart beat faster. Bright tears glistened on his cheeks. She quickly went to him and took his hand. It was cold. "Sweetheart, what is it? Tell me." He wiped at his reddened eyes with his free hand. His nose was runny and he blotted it on his sleeve. He was so pale. Whatever was wrong, it wasn't simply a standard complaint, no ordinary childhood trauma. She sensed that much and her mouth went dry with fear. He tried to speak, couldn't get out even one word, pointed to the kitchen door, took a deep, shuddery breath, began to shake, and finally said, "The porch." "What about the porch?" He wasn't able to tell her. Frowning, she went to the door, hesitated, opened it. She gasped, rocked by the sight that awaited her. Brandy. His furry, golden body lay at the edge of the porch near the steps. But his head was immediately in front of the door at her feet. The dog had been decapitated.